I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. A lot coming your way. We've got still more from today's media day for Tennessee football. As practice begins tomorrow, we will have a practice report in our next segment. But right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6 on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
And we are going to give away a great prize. So it's win them before you can buy them. That's general admission tickets to the Big Kahuna Wings Festival, which is coming up Sunday, September the 5th. At the World's Fair Park. Now, the general admission tickets go on sale Thursday, August the 5th. You can get them through 991thesportsanimal.com and bkwfestival.com or at either of the Big Kahuna Wings restaurants beginning August the 5th. So, this is the largest annual chicken wing festival. It's a fantastic event. We've had a chance to go there several times. On September the 5th, it'll go from 3 to 9 p.m. at the World's Fair Park. And they got more than 25 teams competing to become the Big Kahuna Wings Tennessee State champion. All right, so a couple of tickets, a general admission for the Big Kahuna Wings Festival, if you can answer this trivia question. Kevin Durant is the all-time leading scorer for the USA in men's basketball in the Olympics. Name the next two players on that list. Kevin Durant has scored more points for men's USA men's basketball team in the Olympics than anybody. Name the number two and three all-time scorers, USA Men's Basketball Olympics.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Gage. Hello, Gage.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
I am. I'm going to go with Carmelo Anthony and Michael Jordan.
You are half right. You started strong. Your second guess is number five on that list. And the only reason he's number five, I think, is he didn't play in as many Olympics as some of the others.
Yes.
So, yeah. But, your first guess was correct. Good job.
Sure do appreciate it, Gage. Thanks. Let's go next to Mike. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Mike.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
How about Carmelo Anthony and David Robinson?
Oh, that is such a good guess. David Robinson is number four on the list. You're so close. So close.
Mike, we sure do appreciate it. Have a great night. It's Chris who joins us next. Hello, Chris.
Can I go with Carmelo Anthony and Stephon Marbury?
It is not Marbury. You're half right.
Chris, thank you very much. Enjoy your evening. Hank is our next contestant. Hi, Hank.
Hey, buddy. How y'all doing, guys?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Let's go Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James.
That's it. It's Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James, who are going to be teammates with the Lakers this season.
The Lakers.
Yep. They are number two and three. All-time scores, USA men's basketball in the Olympics, trailing Kevin Durant, who became the number one scorer in this year's Olympics. Hey, Hank, congratulations to you. You've won a couple of general admission tickets to the Big Kahuna Wings Festival that's coming up September the 5th at the World's Fair Park. Congratulations
to
you. We're going to put you on hold and get those tickets to you. Good job, Hank.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Way to go, Hank. Hang on the line, and that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6.
John, just a couple of the notes to pass along. Steve Spurrier, his wit, his quips still resonate. He was doing a recent interview, and he was asked about Texas joining the SEC, and he said, well, they can't win the Big 12 anyway.
Yeah.
So take that, Longhorns. Is that a downward hook'em horn sign? He might get penalized for that. Also, the Baylor athletic director, Mark Rhodes, ripped Texas. He said, many think Texas' move is because they think so highly of themselves. I disagree. It's because they felt so little of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming from Baylor. And then also, this was a note that was thrown out there. Baylor has had five teams that have had five football teams won at least 10 games in a season five times in the last 10 years. So they've had five 10-win seasons the last 10 years. How many has Texas had in the last 11 years? One. And I saw this note. I meant to check it. I don't know if it's true. TCU in its last 10 games against Texas is 7-3 against the Longhorns. So, anyway, a lot of bashing of Texas going on. Three SEC quarterbacks on the Heisman Trophy watch list. Number three on that list, JT Daniels, a quarterback at Georgia, who played maybe, what, four games last year. Number eight, Matt Corral at Ole Miss. Number nine, Bryce Young at Alabama. The SEC's won each of the last two Heisman trophies. We'll see if they can get another one. And, gosh, I don't remember if I mentioned this. Did I mention about Braxton Hunter, what he did at the Oak Ridge Country Club? Playing in the Pro-Am at Oak Ridge Country Club, Braxton Hunter, our co-host on Golf Talk on Monday nights, he shot a 65, 31, 34. He had the best score by six shots among the pros. So they pay out the top five teams. He was a winner on the top five because his six-shot margin over the next pro gave him a significant advantage. So he pocketed money for the first five places in that Pro-Am. And to just extend that, the top 10 teams overall were won by Braxton Hunter and his team.
Wow.
So, now he didn't get money for the last five, but I kept, and that's such a rare feat, but my goodness, what a tremendous round by Braxton Hunter at Oak Ridge Country Club with a 65.
Do want to throw out just a couple of quick comments, and this was yesterday. Our caller Tim gave us the lowdown on Joel Youngblood being traded and getting hits for two different teams in the same day. And I had heard where there had been guys who perhaps had been traded in the first game of doubleheader to the other team for the second game of doubleheader, but this was the first time and the only time that anyone's gotten two hits for two teams in the same day. His day started as a member of the New York Mets, and they were playing at Wrigley Field. He's going up against starter and future Hall of Famer Ferguson Jenkins. So he gets a base hit, drives in a couple of runs, helps his team build a 3-1 lead, then he's taken out of the lineup, and he's traded. He's informed that he's been traded to the Montreal Expos. The Expos were getting ready to play in Philadelphia that night. It was going to be a 7:41 Eastern time start. And they said, we're really shorthanded right now due to injury. Any way that you can make it and perhaps play tonight. So Joel Youngblood says, I'll do what I can. And he finds out that there's a flight he can catch at 6:05 Central time. Well, as he says, you're already, you know, in uniform, you've been playing, so you have to shower and take care of your incidentals with the clubhouse manager, so he had to do that. Then you're on the road, so it's not like you're packed, so he has to go back to the hotel and pack up. And as he's packing up, and then take care of your incidentals with the hotel, and then you're able to gather up and run. And as he goes into the cab, his second cab, and he's on his way to the airport, he realizes he left his glove. He used the same glove for 14 years, so he was not going to Philadelphia without his glove. So he makes the cabbie swing by Wrigley Field so he knows exactly where his glove is. He runs in and he gets that. He indeed makes the flight. It's about an hour and a half, as they say. So he lands, and he wound up getting to Veterans Stadium just after, I think, 9 o'clock, and he got into his brand-new Expos uniform. And he got out to the dugout, and it wasn't long before the manager said, Youngblood, you're up. And so he put him in. And future Hall of Famer Steve Carlton is the pitcher that he faces in Philadelphia, and sure enough, gets a single up the middle. So he had two base hits, one in Wrigley Field, the other in Veterans Stadium, playing for the Mets against the Cubs, then for the Expos against the Phillies, and they came against two future Hall of Fame pitchers in Fergie Jenkins and Steve Carlton.
He should have been traded more often.
Yes.
Might be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes. But he is the only person to ever do that and likely will be the only person to even have the opportunity to do it. But that was just a little background on the story that our caller shared yesterday. Time now for a practice report as we get our first of the season. Joining us now, the one, the only, Eric Kane. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys, doing well. Glad to be back here talking football. Thanks to a Pools by Heritage UT practice report. Day number one of camp. I call it day number one because it's media day. Practice number one will come out tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, so looking forward to that. But as you guys know, we caught up with Josh Heupel for 20 minutes, offensive coordinator Alex Golish for 20 minutes, defensive coordinator Tim Banks for about 20 minutes, and they went over a bunch of different stuff to kick things off. Then we went outside and We met with probably about 12 players or so, and so it was good to get a lot of audio and check in with the team. As far as, you know, some major things from Josh Heupel in his opening press conference of fall camp, no major injuries to detail. I'm sure there's some guys that are nicked up here and there, but as far as I can make out from what Josh Heupel said, you know, there was a laundry list of players that were missing time during spring because of some shoulder issues, you know, Roman Harrison, Jeremy Banks, guys like that. But it looks like those guys are going to be back and ready to roll and compete, which I think is going to be big for certain positions. No major position changes, no guy on offense moving to defense or vice versa, anything like that. There'll be players that'll be moving around and in terms of versatility, but as of right now, no major position changes heading into fall camp. In terms of the Tennessee football team being at an 80% vaccination rate, we remember at the SEC Media Days, Commissioner Greg Sankey said only 6 of the 14 teams were at that 80% threshold. Josh Heupel notified us in the local media session that Tennessee was not one of those teams, but Josh Heupel could envision Tennessee being one of those teams by fall camp. Well, Tennessee is not at that threshold yet, but Josh Heupel says that the team is continuing to ask more questions and they're working towards that. And when they get to that threshold, he says he will let us know. And I thought it was interesting, too. Of course, you know, two Tennessee football players were forced into retirement last week, and you guys caught up with Austin Pope and did a great job there. But Austin Pope was asked to Alex Golish and Josh Heupel both, and both of those guys said that they're heartbroken, that they hate it. That Pope was a guy that has been through so much at Tennessee in terms of coaching changes. So it took a little while to kind of get his trust, but he was there. And I know Alex Golish said that he was counting on Alex or Austin Pope as kind of being a bonus for them. And so they were kind of prepared for this, but nonetheless, he was looking forward to having a big year and they were looking forward to having him. And so both of those coaches, you know, had some remorse to say about Austin Pope having to call it a career. But those are some of the highlights. Of course, Tennessee, tons of video, tons of audio up on our website, and practice gets rolling tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock for this season in 2021 before it's kicked off.
Eric, I thought it was interesting. Josh Heupel really didn't want to put much of a timeline on deciding when to how to divide the reps up and when they're going to decide on the two quarterbacks moving forward. Alex Golish said he wants to have that answer in 10 to 14 days. He wants to whittle it down to two. Doesn't mean he's going to get there, but I thought that he was pretty direct about what his goal was, wasn't he?
Oh, he was. I'm sorry I don't have that audio yet, but here's the quote I'll read you to. This is Alex Golish on just that. Quote, I would like to have the pecking order as fast as we can. We're going to give all those guys a fair, honest shake at this thing early, and then the pressure's on to at least get your top two to a point to where they can start to split those reps. A week and a half is my goal at least to have the top two. So that's from Alex Golish. He wants to go ahead and finalize, say, hey, you know, here's a week, go earn it, all right, pecking order, here's the reps, let's roll. It sounded like Josh Heupel was saying, okay, well, we're going to give all these guys reps. We will see which, you know, quarterback is earning more and more, and which quarterback will kind of fiddle themselves out of the race. And so it is more of a wait-and-see approach for Josh Heupel. And that was kind of what he said at SEC Media Days. But both of those coaches said that they, you know, want a quarterback named going into game number one. They didn't rule out a two-quarterback system, but they both made it seem like, hey, we want our best 11 players out there. That typically means one quarterback, but also left open the possibility of, hey, if somebody else has earned the opportunity to play, then maybe there can be a package or maybe a role for another quarterback in this offense. But both Alex Golish and Josh Heupel want one quarterback, and that's going to obviously be the storyline of camp, and just a matter of how quickly they can find that one quarterback. If it's up to Alex Golish, it might be next week, guys, and that'd be fun. If he said he won't tell us who it is, though. He won't tell anybody heading into that week one opponent.
But he knows it'll be leaked out, so he... No reason to even try to keep that quiet. defensive coordinator Tim Banks, what type defense did he say he would like to have this year?
Yeah, attacking. He said attacking, and essentially, you know, playing harder and longer than your opponent does in a football game. And that's essentially what he wants, and it's going to be a very multiple defense. You know, the question was asked to kick things off, have you kind of settled in on what will be your base defense? And he laughed and said no, and he probably wouldn't tell us to begin with. But this is a Tennessee defense that I think that Tim Banks is going to have to adapt with the personnel he has. And again, they're going to be multiple, three defensive linemen at a time, four defensive linemen at a time, two linebackers, five defensive backs. And that's kind of what he was saying, that that's what you have to be a lot of times in college football nowadays, because you'll go up-tempo 1 week, spreading it out. You'll see more of a pro-style offense the next week. And so that's essentially what he was kind of saying there. I asked the question about, you know, in terms of linebackers, could you have some guys practicing and being, you know, depth pieces at the inside, as well as getting some reps on the outside as well? And I asked about Morvin Joseph and Roman Harrison in particular, and he kind of said, hey, that's the plan. We want to move those guys around, and he thinks that if you're a solid linebacker, you're able to fill in at every single spot. And so that's something I noticed too. Morvin Joseph, because of depth issues, got a lot of run at inside linebacker in spring, but in the open practice and in the spring game, Morvin Joseph was still lining up on the edge as well. So I can see he and Roman Harrison kind of playing those roles as time goes on. But bottom line, it's going to be attacking, and it's going to be a versatile for Tim Banks here in year number one.
Joe Milton, the quarterback transfer from Michigan, 6'5", 244. What did offensive coordinator Alex Golish say about Joe Milton?
Yeah, he had to say that he's a guy that's come in here and he's worked really, really hard. He's excited to have him, obviously, on the team and in the running. He said that he's never been around a guy that is, you know, any bigger than Joe Milton. He's pretty much got all the intangibles you want, that, you know, he throws it very well. And he said that there were some deficiencies in this game from Michigan that they saw on tape, and they've worked like crazy to kind of iron those out. And said that Joe Milton has worked like crazy to try to iron those out as well. But he said that he's a big quarterback and he has the ability to run, although Michigan didn't really ask him to run a whole lot, but you know, Tennessee might. And so pretty much has all the tools you want in this offense, and that, again, Joe Milton's going to have a fair shake to go out and win this thing. And so there were some questions about Joe Milton. There was a lot of questions about the quarterbacks, obviously, and that's the story going into fall camp. But ultimately, I think it's going to, you know, see how these guys play it out on the field over the next week and a half, and certainly on into the month of August until Tennessee gets ready for game week for September the 2nd.
Any other news or notes?
That'll do it here for today. Practice starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. There will be media tomorrow around lunchtime at 11 o'clock. We'll hear from Josh Heupel again tomorrow. We'll hear from more assistants and more players as the week goes on. But practice number one will be tomorrow, Wednesday, on the practice field. Today's UT Football Practice Report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Now is a great time to get your pool started. You can beat the spring rush right now today at Pools by Heritage, from design to construction to maintenance. One call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527. And, of course, plenty of audio, plenty of video from today's Tennessee Media Day up on our website at 991thesportsanimal.com.
Eric, sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a great night, a fantastic show in the morning, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And that is a Pools by Heritage practice report as Eric Kane joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
And, John, just a couple of other notes regarding the NBA with the free agency out there. Trae Young with the Atlanta Hawks signs a five-year deal. It's up to $207 million. I don't know how he gets to that number, but anyway, it could be up to $207 million. And then Derrick Rose is staying with the Knicks. He signs a three-year deal for $43 million. You got Burks and Noel also staying with the Knicks. Steph Curry signs a four-year, $215 million deal with Golden State. So it's the money that they're throwing around in the NBA is just mind-boggling to me.
This was four years, $200 plus million.
Yeah,
it's Patrick Mahomes' money.
Yeah, yeah. Who does he can't even? Well, he can pass, but not like Mahomes. It's a different pass.
Yeah, but unlike his, theirs is guaranteed.
Yeah, and it wasn't that long ago that the NBA was struggling. They didn't have much of a TV package. They didn't have that many folks that were watching their games. And now the money they're handing out, and this is coming off of COVID.
Yes.
My gosh. I don't know how they don't go bankrupt. I don't know where all that money's coming from. But apparently they got it or they wouldn't be paying it. So anyway, that's what's going on with the NBA with a lot of these free agency out there. And there are a whole bunch of other deals out there. I can't go over all of them because there are too many of them. But those are some of the highlights of the deals that are out there from NBA players.
It has been fast and furious with either the extensions being handed out or free agents that are signing. Goodness gracious, it has been money just wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow being foisted upon players. John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. Today it was Media Day for Tennessee football.
And with Media Day, there was a senior defensive lineman made available, Matthew Butler. He's taking advantage of the COVID rule that gives him an extra year at Tennessee. He's taking advantage of that. And he looks forward to his unit being much improved this season. Here are comments from Tennessee senior defensive lineman, Matthew Butler. Would you like to play defense against this high-octane offense?
We did it all spring. It's fun and miserable at the same time, right?
What made it miserable?
They're fast. You gotta be on top of things, you know. So after you get your eight plays done, even if you stop them in their tracks, you're going to feel it. But it's all good. It prepares us for this upcoming season. There's not going to be an offense in the country as fast as these guys. They practice it, and they've gotten very, very good at it. So when we're going against teams that run traditional style offenses, we're going to be very on top of things.
So you said fun and miserable. What's the fun part? Is it getting you prepared?
Yeah, the getting prepared part. Because when it comes down to it, you know, like Muhammad Ali said, he said, I hated every bit of training, but I knew that training was getting me to the place that I had to go, so I had to love it. That's a paraphrase, mind you. So, you know, I love training too. You know, the tough stuff, being out here in the summer, we used to come out here at 9 o'clock. It's 96 degrees outside. That makes absolutely no sense. But we did it, and I have to love it because, you know, obviously that's miserable, but you have to love it because it's getting you ready for what you love. So, yeah.
In terms of the multiplicity of this defense, do you feel like y'all are more honed in on that now than you were back in the spring in terms of, I know you've had some new guys coming through the portal and stuff, but in terms of learning all the different stuff y'all want to do defensively?
Yeah, I mean, we're learning it for sure. Everybody has different schematics, and everybody has different ways of teaching those schematics, and we've picked up on it really well.
Talk about Rodney being well-rounded. Can you give us an example of something that's not necessarily football-related that impresses you about
him? Oh, just, you know, Coach Garner, he's a family guy, and as am I. I mean, most people are family guys, and he can actually speak to us on a personal level, give us some real life advice on the ups and downs of life. You know, obviously, he's coached for 32 years, family man. He's been doing this all his life. This is his life, so he has so much knowledge inside and outside the football field, on and off the football field. So it's really just been excellent.
Apologies for asking this, but what's been your impression of those D-line transfers that come in?
Oh, they've been great. I mean, they're obviously older guys that have experience. They love to work. And, you know, we've obviously gotten very close just in these past, I guess, 2.5 months since the middle of May when I met them both. So it's been great, obviously. We've done tons of stuff on these fields, and then we've done tons of stuff off. So it's been great getting close to them.
You talked about how fast the offense is. How much did you see at Jabari Small in the spring about how he fits into that offense?
Oh, first of all, Jabari's my guy, and he definitely fits into the offense. We have a real stable. You know, they're younger guys, but, I mean, what does that matter these days? If you can run that ball and you can learn the offense and you understand how to be a running back, obviously I'm not a running back, so I don't know everything. You know, they all impressed me over this spring.
How different does that linebacker room look now compared to what it looked like in the spring?
I thought that it looked good both times. Obviously, it looks better now. We have more depth. We have guys who have played at other places, and they decided to evolve. So, you know, competition breeds depth, and depth, you know, typically breeds, you know, very good football. So, it's going to come for sure, and I'm loving what I'm seeing.
Going through, you know, last year, not knowing whether it might be your final year or not, and then you come back, are there more things you're ever going to appreciate the second time around at this?
Yeah, for sure. Some of the things is just like, this, you know, as if I didn't maximize every day. Now you're really just maximizing every day and every moment that you have. Like I said, you know, you have these times where you're in the 96 degree heat at 10 in the morning, however little sense that makes. And, you know, you don't think about it in the moment, but maybe after or maybe going into, you're like, man, this is my last time around. I got to go. You know, obviously a lot of guys were doing that last year, including myself, but it's almost just a renewed sense of urgency.
Are you looking forward to a Thursday night game?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be exciting. Like, it's going to be pretty cool to, you know, It's a lot of different aspects of it. We're going to be probably, I would assume, the only guys on TV. So it's going to be a lot of people watching. And then, you know, I'll be able to watch some of my old friends and my buddies from high school and guys who used to go here play over the weekend. And then, you know, hopefully spend some time with family over the weekend as well. It'll be excellent.
And playing in front of more than, what, 20,000?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I did a little function last week. I spoke at one. And it was great to just kind of acknowledge during that function that we're actually going to have 102,455 in Neyland again. It's been forever, and it's something to look forward to for sure. So many guys haven't even experienced it yet. So many guys haven't experienced the real camp yet, haven't experienced kneeling yet, haven't experienced the real Vol walk, the traditions that we know and love. It's going to be great this year.
So some of these sophomores are freshmen in some ways, basically, almost, in terms of learning some of this stuff.
Yeah, they don't know anything yet. It's crazy. They haven't had a real camp, and that's fine, you know, football's football. But the traditions that are unique only to Tennessee, this is going to be their first time doing it. So it's going to be great.
What are some areas you've been working on to help improve your game for this year?
I mean, you know, as just cutthroat and hard-nosed as the D-line is, it does get real technical down there in the trenches. So, you know, whether it just be your first step, playing vertical, getting your hands on the man faster, you know, all those things are so basic. You have to do those to play D-line. But you want to do them better. You want to do them better than the next guy. You want to do them better than, you know, everybody around you, everybody on every other team, everybody in the country. So that's what you try to do day in and day out.
Do you like the depth on the defensive line right now?
Yeah, I like it, but we're always going to improve one way or the other.
Have you gotten bigger since last year or changed anything in terms of physically?
Yeah, I'm up 7 pounds and down 1% of body fat.
I was going to say you look a little bigger. Was that an emphasis going into it?
No, it just kind of happened. Yeah. I said that I wanted, like, to just I've always been a real healthy eater and taking advantage of the great stuff that we have here as far as food and training and everything. And I mean, my body getting older, you know, I wouldn't say I was surprised, but I was proud of myself. I mean, to be able to put on 7 pounds, obviously being a bigger guy already, and then being able to lower your body fat, that, I mean, that's great.
You may have been asked this earlier. Who are some of the guys that may have impressed you on the D-line in the offseason in terms of the work they've put in?
Y'all are going to think this is so cliche, but it's really everybody. I've been really proud of the guys and how we've come together. Obviously, we're not perfect. There's multitude of issues, but, you know, it's great to see just the growth, not only on the field, but off the field, you know. And when I say issues, you know, don't take that and run with it. It's just, you know, it's just a couple of things. Like, that happens everywhere, but it obviously is overshadowed by the wonderful things that are happening with the D-line, the defense, and the team. So,
and you guys will be very multiple on defense, the four-down look, three-down look, you know, a lot of different fronts with Coach Banks' defense.
Yeah, for sure.
How difficult do you think that could be for some of the new guys to try to maybe digest a lot of that stuff, or is that based on concepts so it flows pretty well?
Like, you know, everybody has their own, like, gauge of learning and way of learning. That's when it comes to, man, Coach G and Coach Eck and, you know, myself, guys like Latrell and Jay and leaders on the defensive line, being able to just pour into guys. And then the awesome effect about that is obviously you have, like, some fall off. Like, hey, look, what if I do something wrong? And I just taught Amari McNeil just how to do it, and I mess around and do something wrong. He can come back and correct me, and that only makes us closer.
All right. I was going to ask, do you think that the defense is more complicated right now or less complicated than it was a year ago?
I would say it's less complicated, but like I said, everybody has their own schematics and way of teaching things. You know, this time next year, I plan on being in somebody's NFL camp. And there is absolutely no way of knowing what their defensive schematics are going to be like. So it's great to have a great taste of both.
That's Matthew Butler, Tennessee senior defensive lineman.
We go to the phones, and it's Roger who joins us next. Hello, Roger.
Hey, John, Jimmy. Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well. Good, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Jimmy, I just wanted to ask you about it was great to hear from Josh Hopper and his staff today and play everything. It was so nice to hear everything that Jimmy. The past has been different, but Jimmy, how nice was it? Jimmy, I know you say one time it was nice to hear. It's good to hear one time you happy to hear to talk to us. I was like, Jimmy, how nice was it for you to do some interview with coaching staff today, Jimmy? How happy were you?
Roger, it was great. It was great. I really enjoyed hearing from them. Not only was it great, but it was almost like they hadn't been schooled on what to say, how to say it, and they weren't guarded about what they said. So I really appreciate it. I liked Heupel. I thought he did a nice job. I liked Alex Golish and Tim Banks. I thought they did a really good job. It was fun talking to all four quarterbacks. I don't know too many schools in the country that would make all four quarterbacks available on media day, but they did. So I thought it was fantastic. And the thing, Josh Heupel, he gets it. I think that staff gets it too. And I think the people advising Heupel get it as well, because Tennessee's not in a situation where they can go with this clandestine deal about, we're not going to let you talk to anybody and the fans will show up anyway. No, that's not the case. Tennessee is in a position right now where it needs to promote its football program, generate interest, and try to sell some tickets. They are at that position right now, and I think this is one way to do it. So I have great appreciation. And remember this, when they allow the coaches and players to talk to the media, they're talking to the fan base, too. They're talking to the Vol Nation as well. And so I think that generates interest in your program and helps promote your program.
You're right, Jimmy. You're right with that. And also, Jimmy and John, I just cared about the NSA thing. That's why I asked you, hopefully it'll be something soon that we can. Have you heard, Jimmy, have you heard anything else new about when the NSA is going to come down with his news about that? Jimmy,
no. And Josh Heupel was asked about that today, and I asked him about it at Football Media Days, and they just don't know. He indicated today that, look, the administration's handling this, and they're trying to focus on, what did he say, we'll control the controllables, and that's not something they can control. And I get that.
Yeah.
But they don't know. I don't know why in the world this thing, the law firm that they hired, has not finished the investigation. Maybe they have. Maybe they finished it, and they're writing their report up. I don't know. I don't get the sense that they're at that level yet. But to me, it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, that they have not concluded their investigation. That's not the NCAA. This is an internal investigation where you hired a law firm. You hired them back in November. They had enough evidence in January to fire the coach and about 10 others, and yet you still haven't completed this investigation? I think that's absurd.
And also, Jimmy and John, about today, talking to the media today, the player didn't say anything
stand out to you, Jimmy?
Roger, I thought several things stood out. One, when we talked to Hendon Hooker, he was the number one quarterback that came out to play in the spring game, and he said, that didn't mean I was number one quarterback. They just called my name. He said, I didn't come out of the spring thinking I'm number one. Mm-hmm. I understand this is a battle. I thought it was interesting that Alec Golich wants to know the top two quarterbacks within about 10 days. Josh Heupel wouldn't go there, but Golich said he would love to have that. That's ideal. And then select a quarterback at least a week before your first game. I thought that was interesting. You got the defensive coordinator, Tim Banks, talking about running a multiple defense. And he talked about the linebackers. He said nowadays the way teams run things, you got to have linebackers that not only can tackle and be physical, but they got to be good in pass coverage. They got to be able to do both. You can't have a one-dimensional linebacker anymore. I thought that was interesting. The fact that Tennessee has not reached the 80% vaccination level that the SEC is requesting. We heard the commissioner a couple of weeks ago talk about 6 out of 14 had reached the threshold, that Tennessee is close, but they're not there yet. So that caught my attention as well. It also caught my attention, and I credit Matthew Butler. He listed everybody that's coached the defensive line since he's been there. I don't know how he remembered them all. He mentioned about 7 names.
Yeah.
And but he really is high on Rodney Garner. He talked about Rodney Garner being a great coach. He's been in a coaching in the SEC for 31 years. He gets after them, but he also is trying to improve them. And he said that the defensive line will be the most improved unit on the Tennessee team, and he gives a lot of that credit to Rodney Garner. Now, the unit wasn't very good last year, but he does feel they'll be the most improved unit. So those are some of the things. I guess it also stood out to me that Joe Milton, 6'5 and 244 pounds, is a quarterback. John, I can't remember a quarterback, maybe I'm going through my Rolodex in my mind, a quarterback in Tennessee that was that big, that weighed that much. There have been some 6'5 quarterbacks.
Yes.
But not that weighed 244 pounds.
Right. Yeah. There's not one that springs to mind.
So, but those are some of the things that came out. It was, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I thought the coaches and the players that I was around to talk to did a really nice job. And by the way, these players are really excited about playing a Thursday night game, they said. Probably the only game that'll be on a major TV network, so there'll be a lot of eyeballs. Also, one player said, you know, we'll play that game and we'll get a little bit extra rest for the next game.
Yes.
So he pointed that out. So I think, look, Tennessee is short on numbers. We all know that. They're short on depth on offense and defense. But I do think the players that have stayed here and stuck it out, I think they're committed and dedicated to playing hard and trying to play it at a high level. That's not going to amount to 12-0. We know that. But I do think that this is a group that is bonding together. And there's something to be said for that. I think in the close games, you're not going to see anybody tucking their tail and quitting. You're going to see them getting after it. And I do think that that will serve this team well this year. Is that going to result in more than six wins? I don't know. But I think they can get to six.
It really does seem like there is a considerably different atmosphere around this program now compared to what it has been the last couple of years. And I kind of thought things were on the right track with Jeremy Pruitt, but I just think there's so much positivity, and I think that's been with what they've had to say, whether it be Coach Heupel or the assistants. I think they're really doing a nice job trying to connect with this group that they inherit.
I do, and I think Heupel's approach of, okay, we're going to get after in football, but we're going to have fun. We're going to play handball. We're going to play dodgeball. We're going to go bowling.
Yeah.
I think those are things that can help unite a team, and I think the players appreciate that as well.
If you missed anything that we played earlier today, you can find it at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Thanks to Sam. Thanks to Ben. Thanks to you for listening to Sports Talk.